Tonight, the title of my message is Christ, Our Deliverer. Christ, Our Deliverer. In Psalm chapter 70, David's writing this. He's praying this out to God. And he says, make haste, O God, to deliver me. I don't know of anybody that would not want deliverance from problems. We need deliverance from sin. We need an eternal home in heaven. We need deliverance from God's judgment. It says, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward to their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. We need to get a grip on that. God should be magnified in everything that we do because of what He's done for us. We should praise Him and glorify Him. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help, and everybody say it, my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. You know, while David was running from Saul, he had a lot of things to be scared of. He had an entire army out after him. And he couldn't trust anybody. Everybody that would see him would tell Saul where he was, and Saul come chasing him. But God delivered him. And folks, we need God's deliverance. We all need it. Christ is our deliverer. Here are some key verses to think about as we get into what Christ delivers us from. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 17, the psalmist says this, but I am poor and needy. You know, we need to have a contrite spirit because the Lord will draw nigh to that. We need to put God in His proper place in our lives. We need to understand that without God, we are poor and needy. But He has the riches of His grace that He will bestow upon us. He says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Think about that. The Lord thinks about everybody that's in here tonight. The Lord thinks about everybody in the world. He just wants us to come to Him. That's His will. That's His will. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me, thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. You see the same thing? We all need this. And it's just not a one-time deal. It's a continual process. In Romans chapter 11, verse 26, quoting Isaiah 59, 20 here, it says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. Capital D. Not just a little one. He is all delivery. Okay? And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. In Luke chapter 1, verse 74, Zacharias is seeing the Christ child. He's holding him in his arms. And he says this, that he would grant unto us, all those that seek him, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, we've been talking about the ministry of Christ. And Christ goes into the synagogue and he picks up the scripture and he reads the scroll. And he reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach what? Deliverance to the captives. You know, there is so much stuff that binds us in this world. It might be finances. It might be relationships. It might be, but we need to be free. We need to be free to serve God and not tangled into the yoke of bondage. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Folks, that's Christ's mission for us. That's Christ's desire for us. He wants us to live a life of peace. He wants us to live a life of joy. He wants us to live a life of grace and comfort and being delivered. and being delivered. There are seven things tonight that the Bible talks that Christ delivers us from. Seven things. You know, before we go, I just want to ask, what's God done for you tonight? So, I'm going to say, God has delivered me from, and I'm going to leave blank, one word answer. God has delivered me from what?
Hell.
Hell. What else? Come on.
Fear.
God has delivered me from what? Huh?
Debauchery.
Okay.
Self.
Big words.
Myself.
Yourself. What else? God's delivered me from what?
Sin.
That's a big one. God's delivered me from what? My enemies. What the psalmist says. Two words. I sent you to college just so you could figure that one out. Okay? God has delivered me from Satan. God's delivered me from what?
Fear?
Yeah, we said fear. Anything else? Anybody else? God's delivered us. What?
Unforgiveness.
Yep. Amen. Some of those we'll talk about tonight. But we need to understand that we're all delivered by Christ. So seven things that Christ delivers us from. The first one is Christ delivers us from the lowest hell. Christ delivers us from the lowest hell. Present tense. You know, John chapter 3 verse 36 says we don't believe in Him. We have the wrath of God abiding on us right now. But in Psalm chapter 86 verse 13 says, for great is thy mercy towards me, and thou hast, past tense and present tense, delivered my soul from the lowest hell. He has changed my destination eternally. He has turned it totally around. And that's a present deliverance that we are experiencing even tonight. But in eternity, He has delivered us in the future. We just finished our study of the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, talking about all those that were in the lowest hell, all those that were in the sea and the dead, and they got they all delivered, everything delivered up, death and hell delivered up. It says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But if you know Jesus Christ, you have your name in the book of life. He has delivered us from the lowest hell. That'll make you happy. Even when everything goes wrong, that'll make you happy. Secondly, He has delivered us from the wrath to come. Judgment and wrath will come. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 17, it says, for the great day of His wrath, talk about the tribulation period, for the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? You can't stand on your own. You need a deliverer. You need a mediator. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus allows us to stand. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, and to wait for His Son from heaven. Are you waiting? Are you waiting for Him? Do you want Christ to come back tonight? Are you ready?
Amen.
Are you ready? Amen. Amen. That ought to change the way we live. We ought to live this day as if it's the last day that we have on earth. And we ought to chalk as much things in there as we can to glorify God. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even who? Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have the wrath of God on you. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, There's a place in the lowest hell reserved for you. There's a place in the lake of fire reserved for you. But I got great news. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of which we all are. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross to take God's wrath of our sin on Him so that we don't have to suffer it. He paid the ultimate penalty of sin, which is death. 3 days, and He laid in the grave for 3 days, which was a sign of the prophet. What? Jonah. Talk about that this morning. 3 days later, He raises from the dead. Therefore, death has no power on Him. Sin has no power on Him. Satan has no power on Him. And He gives eternal life to whoever asks for forgiveness and asks to receive it.
Amen.
Folks, that's a tremendous thing. And then we are delivered from the wrath to come, because in the judgment we stand before God and He says, you're justified. You're justified by the blood of My Son. So Jesus allows us to stand. You know what we need to understand? We need to walk around and live this life as if we are delivered. You know, if you're a prisoner in a prison, you can't get outside the gates. You wear striped clothes, or you wear orange clothing, or you wear something that identifies you with being a prisoner, with being a criminal, with being, you are paying the punishment for your sin. Folks, we don't wear prison clothes. He has set the captive free. He has delivered those in prison. So we should not live as though we are bound in sin. We should not live as if there's no hope. It should change the way we walk. Don't walk away. Don't walk as the condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But there's a caveat. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If after you get saved, you go and sin, there will be consequence. And you will have to deal with that. We've already studied, it's not a license to do what we want to do. It doesn't change our eternal destination, but it sure makes us useless to God down here. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Folks, we need to be Spirit-filled. We need to walk in the Spirit. We have been freed from the law of sin and death. We are no longer in bondage. We should walk as those that have victory instead of those that are condemned. Because God has delivered us, Christ has delivered us from the wrath to come. Don't walk around as the condemned. Who's scared of the dark? Am I scared of the dark? Tell you what, I put you out in the middle of the woods with no flashlight and everything else. You might get real close to God real quick. But we're not talking about physical darkness. This morning we re-emphasize the thing that this is not a physical thing. This is a spiritual thing. And Ephesians chapter 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness and what? High places. And folks, there's a lot of spiritual wickedness out there. But see, none of those things have power over us. Jesus says in John chapter 10, He says, my Father who gave them Me is greater than all. And He's put them in, I have put them in your hand. And no one can take them out of your hand. And then Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, there's neither height nor depth or any other creature that can separate us from the love of Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, 13, who? Christ. Christ hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated. Now, that's not talking about language. There are some words in the King James that don't necessarily quite make sense. But I'll tell you about this one in a minute. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Let's represent this over here as the kingdom of Satan, or the kingdom of hell, or the kingdom of sin. And over there is the kingdom of heaven. As long as I don't know Christ, I am here. And I serve Satan, because he's my master. Christ says you either serve Satan or you serve God. But if I have a relationship with Jesus Christ and I have him as my Savior, he has translated me. He's moved me. He has moved me over here. You know something? If you've been moved out of a bad situation, why would you even look back? If you've been moved out of a bad situation, why would you even want to go back? You've been free from that. Why return to that? I am in the kingdom of heaven right now. Christ has gone and prepared a place for me right now. The wrath to come doesn't apply to me anymore because God has justified me. And I have all those benefits. I have all those benefits. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. He has called us out of this darkness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you," what? Out of darkness. Folks, there's plenty of darkness in the world. And you know, in a very dark room, one candle makes a lot of light. Everybody can see it. Folks, let's be the candle. Let's just not say that I am. Let's be the one. Praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's called us out of this darkness. He's commanded us to walk in the light. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." There should be no reason we should walk in darkness. Absolutely none. Christ, our deliverer, has redeemed us, delivered us from the curse of law. In Romans chapter 7, verse 6, later on, Paul writes, he says, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" He says, "I thank Christ. I thank God through Christ who has done that for me." But in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, it says, "But now we are delivered from the law." See, Christ said that on two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. See, up to this point, you can't live the law without Christ. But Christ gives us the Holy Spirit, and that allows us to have the ability to follow him. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. There needs to be a change. If God hasn't changed your life, you need him tonight. If you can't identify a change in your spirit, you need him tonight. If you still like doing the darkness of the world rather than the light of God, you need him tonight. You need deliverance. We need deliverance. We need to live as those not cursed. Galatians chapter 2 verse 19 says, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might" what? "Live unto God." Don't set up a whole bunch of rules. That's religion. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 says this: Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why do so many people that have experienced freedom go back? What good reason? Think, just put on your thinking caps and think, why, if I got out of a mess, would I go in there in the first place? Why, if God has given me liberty and deliverance from the law and from all those things, why would I even think and contemplate of going back to those things? But yet we do. When no one looks around. Pray for me. Just pray. I'll pray for you, but you've got to do the action. Folks, it's time we take on responsibility for all of our actions. Christ has removed us from the curse of the law. He's removed us from darkness. He's removed us from the wrath to come. He's removed us from all that because He's delivered us. We need to live as those that are not cursed. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He told the crowd, He says, the truth shall what? Set you free. He says, who the Son has set free, He is what? Free indeed. Let's live as if we believe that. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ has made us a new creature. If any man is be in Christ, he's a new creature. You all know the verse, old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things have what? Become new. You believe that? Live it. Live as if you are delivered. You know, we sing the song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." You know, we were born into this world, but God's going to take us out of this world someday. Christ has delivered us from this present world. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this what? Present evil world," the world system. "According to the will of God and our Father." We need to show that we have deliverance in this. Something comes to my mind. John writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If you love those things, the love of the Father is not in you." Those things ought to come to your memory. Christ has set us free. So He's delivered us from this present world. The night that Christ was betrayed, He's praying in the garden. Judas has already gone to the Sanhedrin and gotten soldiers to come and take Christ. That's already going on. It's already going on. And in the midst of the evil that is going to befall Christ, He's praying. He asks His disciples to pray and they can't pray. They don't pray, they fall asleep. But the prayer that Christ prays is this. In John chapter 17, verses 14 through 17, He says, "I have given them Thy word." He's given us all instruction necessary for life and godliness. "And the world hath hated them because they are" what? "Not of this world." James says it this way, that friendship with the world is enmity, or the is enemy of God. Can't serve two masters. Because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from what? The evil one. The evil that's in the world. They are not of the world. You know who the they are? Us. I got a secret. We're not of this world. I've said over the last couple of sermons or last couple of services, who are your friends? Who do you get close to? Who influences you? Are they Christians trying to serve God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are they worldly? Do they give you godly wisdom or do they give you worldly wisdom? You are identified and defined by the company you keep. Christ said, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll give you rest. Folks, we need to get serious on this. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. What does sanctify mean? It means to be set apart. Well, I just don't understand why God doesn't use me. First of all, have you made yourself available? Do you have a relationship with Him as your Savior? Because if you don't have a relationship with you as a Savior, He can't use you. Then the next thing is have you surrendered yourself? This morning we looked at, if any man will wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross and what? Follow me. God needs to fix us. He needs to fix us. He needs to set us apart, which is what sanctification means. Sanctify through them through thy truth. And folks, which means that we need to live truth. It's not about knowing it. It's about living it. Yesterday in the prayer breakfast that we had with the men, we talked about wisdom. It's one thing to know what wisdom is, but it's another thing to apply it in our lives. That's coming. Okay? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Quote, Christ, this is his priority. He was praying this in the garden while man was going to betray him. Now we ought to look at what Christ did at the last and make that a priority in our life. He's delivered us from this present world. We're not of this world. And God the Father has left us here to make a difference. And I think we have failed. We have failed collectively as a church and as the body of Christ worldwide to make a difference. We sit by and we say, oh, well, that's too bad, but have you gotten involved? We need to. We need to make a difference. Jude says, on some having compassion, making a difference. It's beyond just us and our family. It's a lost and dying world out there that is evil. They need deliverance. We have it. We need to show them that they need it and they want it. The sixth thing, the power of evil. It's an ongoing need. Psalm chapter 1, verse 140, verse 1 says, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man. As we've studied Matthew gave a model, or Christ gave a model prayer to his disciples. You know, inside that prayer is this. And lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us from evil. Did you ask God to deliver you from evil today? I'm not asking you if you prayed the Lord's Prayer, but did you ask God to keep you away from temptation? Did you ask God to deliver you from evil? There are a whole bunch of principles here. In Romans it says that we don't make provision for the flesh, that we obey it and the lust thereof. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's an ongoing need. And deliverance from evil is a result of applying wisdom in our lives. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 12, we use this verse, yes, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. How many times have we told our kids, you should have known better? Hear those words echoing in your brain? God the Father looks down at us and some of the things that we do, and we go, oh, I'm in trouble now. You should have known better. Do we know better? If we don't know better, we're not wise. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, for the man that speaketh forward things or evil things. God can deliver from all evil. Paul's writing Timothy. And he's talking about his life. Persecutions, afflictions, what came unto me at Antioch and Iconium. You know something? Everywhere you go, there's what? Evil. Everywhere Paul goes, there's problems. At Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but what? Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The promise of deliverance should give us hope. In 2 Timothy chapter 4:18, it says this, and the Lord shall deliver me from what? Every evil work. You want victory over something? You give it to God. You want help? You find somebody in the church that help me and hold me accountable. I'm holding several in the church accountable right now. You want me to hold you accountable? Some you try to get rid of? Come talk to me. I'll call you up. I'll ask you. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
The promise of deliverance gives hope because we can look beyond. Paul said, I reckon the present suffering is not to be compared with the glory that's coming. We need to get a grip on this one. We're not condemned anymore. We're free from the curse of the law. We're free from the present world. We're free from the power of evil. Satan has no power over you. Satan has no power over you. And then lastly, we are free from the presence of sin. Wait, do I still sin? Yeah. But why do you sin? Because you get away from God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 21, it says, because the creature itself, all creation itself also shall be delivered from the what? Bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. God expects us to live a holy life. For we are what? A royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a what? A blank nation? Holy? That's not with a W. That's with an H. That means we're supposed to be Christ-like. It's an expected condition. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 6, last passage tonight. Let's grasp this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Because God's still working on us. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That won't happen. Everyone will see Him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But as far as ruling and reigning with Him for 1,000 years and then for eternity, you need a relationship with Him tonight. And just some people, the ones that just want to do it, every one of us should do it. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. We're free from that, okay? For sin is a transgression of law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. And let me take away this last verse as a final thought tonight. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. We mess up when we turn our back on God. It is possible to be close enough to God that you won't do the wrong thing. It's possible. And you know something? That ought to be our goal. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. And if God's not changed your life, and you're doing the same thing you did after you received Christ, something's wrong. And what you need tonight is you need deliverance. The question tonight is, are you delivered? You need to be delivered by the only one that can deliver us, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you know Him as your Savior? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? That's the first thing. He's delivered us from the wrath to come. He's delivered us from judgment. And then He's given us everything we need because He's created us as a new creature. And He's given us the power. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. See, the sons of God is not who you think it is. It's who God says it is. And we're supposed to be different and live righteously and live holy. Those are 7 things that Christ took care of when He died on the cross. And He offers it all to us. Do you need deliverance tonight? You can have that tonight. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time of invitation. Father, I pray that if someone does not know You as Savior, and Father, when the music is sung, that they'll come forward and I can show them, Lord, from Your Word, that how they could get saved. Father, for us that need deliverance from some sin or from some habit or just from the relationships that we're in or from bad attitudes. Father, help us to put that at the cross tonight and have You cleanse us and wash us with hyssop and make us clean in Your sight. Help us, Lord, become pure as You are pure. Help us, Lord, to have that hope. Help us, Lord, to be delivered by You tonight. Help us, Lord, not to leave here without victory. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.